The reading this morning is from 1 Peter 4 to 11, and I'm reading from the NIV. The subtitle is Living for God. And it reads, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their recklessness while living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regards to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." I have always a problem finding a title for a message, because I find when you put a title on something, you're trying to put God into a box. And I don't think that the Lord likes to live in boxes. We put our gifts in boxes when we're given to someone, but the Lord gives us more than a box. He gives us hope. So rather than give it a title as such, I'm throwing out a question this morning instead of a title. And it should be up there now. Are you on the Lord's team? Now, I've put you on the Lord's team because it's an individual thing. We've all come to the Lord as individuals. He cares for everyone in the world, but not everyone cares for him. So if you've accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, it is a personal relationship. It is you and him, not us. We can worship corporately as a group, but this message is for each of us, me included. In fact, maybe me more so, because I put it together and it spoke to me as I was putting it. So let's just look at what we've got. If you've seen the news this week and during the past weeks, as we've already discussed, this world seems to have lost its way. People have got no hope. They don't know what's happening. Brexit is... some people want it, some people don't, because there are firms which can't get resources, it's going to cost them more money, and all the rest of it. And we worry about things. And you know, I would be just as worried as well if I wasn't a Christian. But I know that he is in control, and he has plans to prosper us and not to harm us, and plans to give us hope for a future. And we are in his hands, and he loves us. So I think it's clear to me that we don't need to worry about such things. Just leave it to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. But people out there that don't know the Lord, they know that there's something missing in their lives. They may not know what it is. They can't seem to put their finger on it. But when you try and tell them at times or have a word with them, they'll laugh at you. They may do. But don't be disheartened if they do. Because just leave it. Once you've planted that seed, it's up to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will water that seed. If you're honest enough to plant it, you can be sure that he will water it. And it might take years. I know for, as I've said many times before, when my mum used to pray for me, and it used to gripe on my nerves, and I used to hate it, you know. But the Holy Spirit watered those seeds, and praise the Lord, he had his way. So some even think, you know, if I could only just win the lottery, if I could win the lottery, all my troubles would be over. I'd have enough money to buy the house I wanted, the car I wanted, to go on the holidays I want to go on. And it'd be so much easier. But they need to remember, if they're old enough, and those of us who are old enough to remember the Beatles, they put it so well in a song, "Money can't buy you love." And it's true. Money, you can have money. You can have as much money as Donald Trump has, and as much power or perceived power, but is he really happy? I don't know. That's between him and the Lord. But money is not the answer. How then can we have a life that's free of fear and worry? There's only one way, and that's through accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Peter, trust in him and stand on his promise, as we can read in Jeremiah 29:11, which I've already said this morning, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future." Without the Lord, I wouldn't like to think what the future would hold for me, because we're all on a journey, and we're only on a journey. We haven't reached the destination. And the destination for us Christians is to be with the Lord, Jesus Christ. And, you know, I'm looking forward to arriving there. Not looking forward to dying as such, but if that's the price, so be it. You know, but it would be so much nicer if the Lord would just come and just take us up into the air, wouldn't it? It would be such a nice thing to happen. But when we look into the Bible again in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus himself, it is here, he says to them, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation." So then, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what should your purpose be? Surely, it's to be a good witness to those around us, to bring Christ to them and the community. And as a Baptist fellowship here, we believe that everyone in fellowship has a ministry. We are all part of one body, as we've sung this morning. We are part of Christ's body. And Christ is the head of the body. So we need to be led by him. Everything that we do is led by what's in there. And if we've got Christ in there and in here, and we are led by him, we will not go wrong. Everyone, as I said, has got a fellowship role to play and a responsibility. Now, Satan doesn't want you to join a church. He doesn't want you on the team, as it were. He doesn't want you to be committed to the body of Christ. Satan wants you to sit on the fence. Stay in the background where you're not cause any trouble, no ripples, but you won't bear any fruit either. But Jesus, on the other hand, he wants us and requires us to get off the fence. He wants us to get committed and to be part of his team. Not just to be spectators sitting and enjoying the message and the tea and coffee and all the rest of it goes with it. But he wants us to be part of the fellowship and working and supporting one another. Because whenever we all do our part, it means that there's less heavy lifting to be done by one or two. Because if there's 10 people lifting a load, it's a lot lighter than if there's two or three. So God wants us to be playing our part. He wants us to get off the bench and into the game. But as I say, the enemy wants us to remain uncommitted. But Jesus requires total commitment. Satan is very content for you to come to church on a Sunday, sing a few songs, greet people, have a cup of tea and a coffee and a nice chat after the service, so long as you don't take it too seriously. But Jesus requires us to, as I said before, throw ourselves into it, completely commit ourselves according to his will, and to bear as much fruit, and to grow his church. And remember, it is his church. We've got a sign out there that says, "Coming to be Baptist Church." But it's his church. He is the head of the church. That's only a local church for people to find us. God wants you committed. Remember the Great Commission? We read in Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." You know, and we've mentioned this morning, Glad was baptized here on Easter Sunday. Roy and Warner were baptized here a few years ago. It doesn't seem that long ago, actually. But, you know, they were honoring Scripture and fulfilling an ordinance that God himself gave through Jesus as he made that Great Commission statement. They relented and they accepted him. And then, you know, it starts here. It's got to start here in this church. He wants us, he wants each one of us to commit our time, our talents to his work, to bear as much fruit as is possible. And, you know, it's like fruit trees. You can plant a seed and it takes time to grow into a tree. And then it takes time for that tree to mature and to produce leaves, first of all, and then flower, and then fruit. So we need to think about it seriously and know that all our job is to plant the seed. It's up to the Holy Spirit to nourish that seed and to water it and to grow it. There's nothing that we can do. We can't save people. We can only introduce them to the Lord and rely on the Holy Spirit to do the rest. Secondly, God wants us to be involved. For years, the attitude of the established church, the bigger churches, the Church of England, Church of Scotland, the Roman Catholic Church, and a lot of these churches, they tend to leave it all to the paid professional. It's paid clergy that does all of the work and does all of the stuff, and people just go and sit down on the seats and just soak it all in. And it reminds me of a football game where you've got 22 people running about on the field sweating, and you've got it depends on how good the game is, you could have 30,000 or 40,000 fat slobs standing or sitting in the thing, just watching all the excitement and enjoying it, but not having put anything into it and going away after it. And whether it was a good match or not, it doesn't really matter, they've had a good time and a good drink, you know. And they get it, you know, they just get enjoyment out of watching people exhaust themselves. You know, but that's nothing. That's nothing like the church in the Bible. The church in the Bible, you can read in Acts, everyone was involved and everyone got involved. Everyone had gifts and talents that they used to give glory to God and to bear fruit and to grow his kingdom. And if it weren't for that church then using the talents that God had given, where would we be today? Would we have a church? Would we know about the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, these are things that sometimes we don't really ponder on, but it's something that we need to consider. If we don't have the same energy that they have, how many people aren't going to hear about Jesus' saving power? So we've got to take it seriously. As I've already said, in this church, we believe that every Christian has a ministry. Everyone needs to be involved. Now, the results may differ. The goals may even be different. If we consider again the game of football, We may think that football is all about scoring goals. And some people may be surprised to know that there are top-class footballers out there who have never scored a goal, and they maybe played 200-300 games of football. And some people may say, well, why would you want to pay them that big money when they can't even score a goal? But they're some of the best defenders in the country, and their job is to stop goals being scored. You know, and that's what Satan tries to do. Satan tries to stop goals being scored, and he will try to discourage you from mentioning and introducing Christ to individuals. So don't let him get in your way. Their job is to block passes and make interceptions in the football and set up goal scoring opportunities for their mate. So don't let Satan stop you get in your way. Just you start setting up the goal scoring opportunities for the Holy Spirit to have his way. You know, the game of football is always played by a team. And as I said, we've got to be a team for God. Are you on his team? The word team stands for together, each accomplishes more. As I've already said, if we're all in it together, we can do more because we've got the energy of more than one person. It's like your car. If a car had 1 horsepower, it wouldn't go very fast. But most of the cars now, you've got, you know, 1.6 litres, no litres now, they've gone away from the horsepower bit, but similar type of thing. You know, and that's true in the church too. Not everyone is a pastor. Not everyone is a teacher. Not everyone has the gift of evangelism. But it's essential that we all find out what our ministry is so that we can contribute to the team. Because it's no good, again, go back to the old analogy of football, which I used to love when I was a referee, but it's no good having 11 centre forwards on a pitch because you'll get nowhere. Nobody, there'll be like kids running around the ball. If you watch the young kiddies playing football, you get a ball and 22 of them are all around it, and there's no structure, you know. So we need to know what our ministry is and to use it wisely to promote the Holy Spirit and God's will within the fellowship and within the community that we are here. Satan, as I've already said, is the enemy of Christ and of our soul. He will do everything he can to hinder us and to discourage us and to prevent us from getting involved, but it is up to us to make it happen. And the Holy Spirit will help us. He will lead us and he will teach us, but we must be willing. As Rob's already said, preaching, I run a mile from it, you know, if I was to do it in my own strength. But the Holy Spirit does empower you and does give you the courage to stand up for him and to bring his word. And that brings me to the third thing that God wants from each one of us. He requires us to have a willing heart. And that will always separate the men from the boys, or if you prefer, the sheep from the goats, the winners from the losers. Because with Christ, if you're with Christ and doing his will, there is no loser. You're a win-win-win situation with Christ. If you try to do it on your own, well, I'll let you find that out for yourself. I know I've tried to do things on my own at times and fell flat on my face. But that's the time when he brings you to your knees and you say, sorry, Lord, I did it my way, not thy way, and forgive me. And he does. He lifts us up. And we will stumble, and you will fall from time to time. But the important thing is getting back up, not letting Satan put you down. Get back up. Give it to the Lord in prayer. That lovely chorus. If we have no commitment, if we're not involved, well, we may regret it for more than a lifetime, because we might regret it eternally. Some of you may have seen the film, or at least heard the story of Schindler's List. For those of you who haven't, the film is based on a true story of Oskar Schindler, who was a German businessman who in Nazi Germany saved thousands of Jews from going to the gas chamber because he convinced the authorities that he needed them to produce the goods for the Third Reich. And it's a very, very moving story. But what moved me even more about it was at the end of that film, he said, and this is a man who had put himself in the line for being shot, for helping Jews, and done more than he could, than most others would have done in those situations. He said, I could have done more. I could have sold my car. I could have sold my suits, my shoes, my houses, and everything that I've got. And in great remorse, in great sorrow, this man who had done so much, he was in tears of anguish when he realized that he could have done more. I wonder if we will feel the same way. You know, when you hear of people departing this world, dying, in other words, nobody likes to say dying for some reason. They always say passed or whatever, you know, but scripture says die. People die, and you know that you had a chance or opportunity to at least introduce them to the Lord, and you didn't take that opportunity. Will you regret it? I know I would. You know, it's something that we need to take seriously. I hope, sincerely hope, that the answer to that is no. I believe that the key to us not falling into that trap of missing the opportunity is to follow the will of the Lord. Remember, Jesus was willing. He was willing to go to the cross for you and me. And he was willing to help anyone. As we can read from the Gospel again, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Jesus was willing. He gave his all for you and for me. Are you willing to give him your all? If the answer to that is yes, then let's commit ourselves and let's get involved. We can begin doing that right now by praying this prayer, which Daniel will put up so that you can follow. Dear Jesus, you can sit along with me if you want to read it from me. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for loving me. Thank you for wanting me on your team. Thank you for leading me to this church. Thank you for the opportunity to give back to you. From this point on, I commit myself to you. I want to be involved in building your kingdom and doing your work. I surrender my will to you. Please lead me and direct me in the things I should do, and give me the courage and the grace to do them. In Jesus' name, amen. It's something that we need to really take control of, our prayer life and our devotion to the scripture. And we need to thank the Lord and realize what he does for us. And there's times when we put things down to coincidence, as Rob's already said, as men. But with God, there is no such thing as a coincidence. Everything is planned. He has plans to prosper us, as I've already said. Not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and the future. This week, let us all seek God's direction and his will and how we can put that prayer into action in our lives. Let us ask him to show us our ministry if we don't know what it is or we haven't fathomed it out. His word tells us, seek and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. But you know, he doesn't push himself. He is a gentle spirit, the Holy Spirit. We've got to ask. We've got to pray. He will prompt, you know, but it's up to you whether you follow it through. So I would just say, let's be honest with ourselves, because the Lord knows what's in our hearts, and we're going to have to answer to him one day. So let's just make it easy and surrender everything to him, which is a good lead-in for our last song, is All to Jesus, I Surrender. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you were willing to go to the cross for each one of us. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son to be our sacrificial lamb. We don't know why you want us. We don't know what we've done to deserve it. But Lord, we are grateful that you love us enough to care for us. And you promise to be with us always, even to the very end of the age. So thank you, Jesus, for all you do for each one of us. We pray that you'll continue to bless us and to keep us safe from Satan's harm. Lord, just be with those who aren't here this morning. We think of Mike and Sally, Lord. We know Mike's recovering from his operation and infection and whatnot have you, Lord. But we pray that you'll be with them and strengthen them, Lord. We know that spiritually they're strong. And that's the most important thing, Lord. The body may be weak, but as long as we are strong in spirit, because the spirit is going to outlive the body, and we long for the day when we will turn into the likeness of your Son in the twinkling of an eye, when we are caught up into the air to meet with him. So Lord, bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.